And welcome to Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM. Had the pleasure of going to the Medieval Festival on the weekend. And one thing that really triggered my thoughts for today's show is just those flavours and some of the different people in the different venues and tents that you talk to. They talked about, say, for example, in what was called the Persian area, they talked about the different flavours. And I found a beautiful lamb tagine dish, a Moroccan lamb, but we're using about 50 grams of slivered almonds, which you're going to toast off and brown them. Then you're going to toast off about 2 kilos of boneless lamb shoulder that you've trimmed and cubed in about a couple of tablespoons of olive oil. Once that is browned off, remove. Then add a little bit more oil. Add a couple of onions, 3 cloves of garlic, 3 tablespoons of chopped coriander, fresh. And then 2 teaspoons of ground coriander, 2 teaspoons of ground cumin, 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cayenne pepper. And you're going to just brown them off and get that lovely aroma happening. Now, once your onions got a little bit of colour and those flavours are coming out, put your lamb back into the pot, give it a good stir, grate the zest from 1 orange into there and the orange juice and a couple of tablespoons of ground almond flour if you have it. It'll thicken it up a little bit. If not, you can use a bit of flour. Then you'll put in about 2 cups of chicken stock and cook that for a couple of hours. You just want that to cook very low in the oven. And then you're going to, once that's started to, the 2 hours is up, take the lamb out and put in 1/2 the dates, about 90 grams of pitted dates. Simmer for a further 20 minutes with the lid off and the dates will turn to pulp. And once again, that'll thicken it up a little bit. And then at the end of the time, you're going to add the remaining dates and some fresh coriander and serve that with some couscous or some rice, maybe even some nice bread beside it if you wish. But what a beautiful warm dish, something that does bring out the flavours, and those simple combination of herbs are absolutely beautiful. Now, another dish along this line, which I actually have cooked before, and it's a chicken stew, and you're using a free-range chicken if you've got them. I think they're just so nice and juicy. Joint it into about 8 pieces. Get your butcher to break that down for you when you go to buy because it makes a big difference. Now, this is a spicy stew. It's got And once again, serve it with something that's going to really pull in those the juices. Couscous is always good. Rice is always good. Even some nice oven roasted vegetables. But this is really restorative food because it's lovely. And so you're going to put some saffron threads in a cup. It's just going to give that flavour. You only need a couple of generous pinches and put that into a little bit of water. Season the chicken and fry that off in some oil. You want that in pieces that you want as a serving size, depending on what size your family are. And then in a frying pan, you're going to toast off some coriander seeds and some cumin seeds, 1 teaspoon of each. Chop your onions, your garlic, add that, 2 onions, 4 cloves of garlic. And you can actually grind those spices if you like, but sometimes I just leave them in there as a beautiful addition. But if you're going to, of course, you would have had to toast them off separately and grind them away. But on top of having those spices, you've got ground ginger, some soft brown sugar, about a tablespoon, and some harissa. Now, harissa is a wonderful thing because it has a combination of so many different flavours, and you can buy it in a little tube. You don't need too much of the actual harissa. But it's a chili pepper paste. It's a North African dish. It's usually got chili, garlic, olive oil, cumin, coriander, and caraway seeds. So if you don't have the harissa, just add that little bit more of those spices, because it's definitely going to get, but you will need a chili paste of some sort. And then you're going to add some dry white wine, a cinnamon stick, and you're going to cook this, stir the saffron in too, sorry, I forgot that. And you're going to put those pieces back into the dish, add the cinnamon stick, and you're going to reduce and cook that for about 20 minutes. Once that has started to cook, you'll add your butternut pumpkin. And I've got a couple of other recipes for that today because the pumpkins are so abundant and there's a good price at this stage. So about 400 grams, some pitted green olives, and then you're going to bring that to a simmer once again. And then take the chicken out. And then at the end of it, you'll stir in some preserved lemon, some coriander and some mint, and just reduce that a little bit and then put the chicken back in and serve, because you just want that sort of all those scrapings from the bottom to add to that. Now, that's a really nice restorative dish. The next day, of course, if you've got a bit of leftover, you've got some extra pumpkin there, you can pop that in. What a great lunch. And I think it's a really nice combination as a hearty meal, economical. We're not using, for something like that, if you buy, and I sometimes notice in the supermarket, you'll get a couple of smaller chooks on sale. One of those would make a fantastic meal for a family, because you had that addition of the pumpkin, and serving that with the couscous, it just adds to. So look out for those specials, because great to pop in the freezer. A gentleman was saying the other day, he has a fruit shop in Caboolture area, and he was saying that he sells a lot of pumpkins at this particular time of year, because one pumpkin can cost $5, $4 to $5, and it can provide a family with substantial, like three different alternatives into the weekly meals. So these are good things to look out for, make things a little bit tastier, and definitely help the budget. We'll come back very shortly, and I've got a couple of pumpkin dishes using a purchase paste, which is fantastic because there's so many available. And let's hope that these are some winter warmers for your family. You're with Community Kitchen. And we're back with Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM. Thai red pumpkin curry. Find yourself a really good red curry paste that you like, because there's so many different ways that you can use this particular paste. I bought one at a market just recently and it's fantastic. You can make your own, but sometimes, you know, you may not have all the ingredients, or you're feeling a bit lazy, or you just want to buy curry paste because it tastes so good. This particular recipe is a Thai red pumpkin curry. And we're talking about economics here too, because as I said before, pumpkin's pretty cheap. A tablespoon of veggie oil or olive oil, a couple of onions, 2 teaspoons of grated ginger, about 1 to 2 tablespoons of Thai red curry paste, beautiful aroma, about a cup of veggie stock, a small can of coconut milk, about 1.5 kilos of pumpkin, and some baby eggplant if you can find it, if you want to use it. I love eggplant. Some green beans and some basil leaves. And basically all you're doing is heating a wok, and you're adding the oil, the onions, the ginger and the curry paste for about a minute. Add the stock, the coconut milk, and bring to a simmer. Add the pumpkin and add the cook for about 5 minutes. Add the eggplants and beans and cook for a further 5 until the pumpkin's soft. Stir through some nice basil. Got some beautiful Thai basil in my garden, which grows so well in this region at this particular time. Serves 4, and it's 1.5 kilos, and it's nutritious, it's delicious. If you want to change it around a little bit, you can actually add some squash and asparagus. So you're adding about 200 grams of trimmed and halved asparagus, about 200 grams of yellow squash. Add that into the curry instead of eggplant and beans. Or you can use the broccolini, broccoli flowerettes, some capsicum, replacing that with the eggplant and beans. Or use potatoes and pea, replacing the pumpkin with about 1 kilo of peeled and chopped waxy potatoes, and cook for 10 minutes. and replace the eggplant with 1 cup of frozen peas. Now, I would also be considering that that their sweet potato is a fantastic alternative to this, and I must say that I really do love the orange sweet potato growing madly in my garden. Every time I go to do a bit of weeding or dig up, you'll see a mound and you'll dig it up and you've got half a bucket of sweet potato. They still keep coming, and also they're fantastic for providing a bit of weed cover. And also when the actual vine dies, you've got it composting into your garden. So it's a win-win situation. Now, another fantastic way to do a red veggie curry is by a similar situation, but by using the eggplants, some bamboo shoots, some lime leaves, which are fantastic, some snake beans, red peppers, and towards the end of it, if you want to take it to that next level, once you've actually cooked the red curry itself, add in a couple of tablespoons of fish sauce, a tablespoon of lime juice, 2 teaspoons of palm sugar, and 1 large chili sliced. Mix that all together, and even a couple of Thai basil leaves in there, and just drizzle through the actual vegetable curry. Now, the lime leaves lift that and give that fantastic fresh flavour. I'd probably have a little bit of fresh coriander on there because I do love coriander. But once again, that deepening flavour, that beautiful red curry is fantastic. And just changing it around by using the different combination and adding that little bit of a different zing at the end just to lift that up. And those lime leaves, I've actually killed one of those trees along the time, but what I did before it died, fortunately, was I froze a lot of them, about to plant another one when the spring happens, because it's something that I use all the time and it's just a really nice flavour enhancer to different dressings. Even if I'm doing a lemon syrup or a lime syrup for a cake, sometimes I throw them into the actual syrup and it crush it up a little bit, and it really does bring those flavours out. So just another thought for some flavour enhancer, midweek or one pot enjoyable dish. You're with Community Kitchen. And continuing along the lines of flavour and good eating on Community Kitchen, just a couple of other goodies. We've opened that jar of Thai red curry paste. Now we have to start to utilise and use it. Otherwise, we're stuck with a whole tray of different things and, you know, those half-empty pots that you don't get to finish. So baked Thai fish cakes, also a wonderful thing to do. So 500 grams of white flesh fish. You can use cod, you can use whatever you want for this, snapper or ling. A couple of tablespoons of red curry paste, 2 tablespoons of fish sauce, about 1/2 teaspoon of caster sugar, a couple of tablespoons of coconut cream, your lime leaves, once again, just take that central vein off and cut them really finely, a couple of spring onions, a red chili finely chopped, about 6 green beans, coriander root, and all you're going to be doing is cut about 1/4 of the fish into 2 centimetre pieces, then finely mince the remainder by chopping on a board. Add the paste, the fish sauce, the sugar and the coconut cream. Continue to chop until the fish is well mixed with and resembles a thick paste. Fold through the larger pieces, the lime leaves, the spring onions, the chilli beans, the coriander, and set aside. I usually put that in the fridge. And then all you need to do is form the patties, and drizzle them with a little oil, and just grill them for about 8 minutes. You can put them in the oven if you want. You can deep fry them. I would probably do them in a pan, and you can serve that with some steamed rice. Absolutely delicious. Very, very economical meal to create. And while we're on the old pumpkin theme, beautiful way to do some pumpkin, about 1/2 a Kent pumpkin, 3 tablespoons of fish sauce, a little bit of brown sugar, about 1/2 tablespoons, a chili, some garlic, some veggie oil, And at the end, you're going to drizzle this beautiful roasted pumpkin with some Greek-style yogurt, some lime wedges, and some coriander. I really love these last two dishes are from Adam Lau's cookbook. And he does pack a lot of flavour into his food. Heat the oven to about 200 fan force, so 180 normal. Place the pumpkin slices on a baking tray lined with baking paper, easier clean. Mix together the fish sauce, the brown sugar, the chilli, the garlic and the oil and pour over the pumpkin, turning it over to coat well. Bake for about 30 minutes until it caramelises and then scatter with the pumpkin with a bit of salt and serve with spoonfuls of the yogurt, lime wedges and coriander. Don't forget to put a bit of black pepper on there. Now, if it were me doing that, I would probably do a couple of batches of that because what a fantastic base for a pumpkin soup. And I just happened to be in the car today and happened to just flick past one of the other radio stations and they were talking about put in all of your different ideas for a different type of pumpkin soup. So from a community kitchen on 101.5 FM to the ABC, we would do an Adam Lau roast pumpkin with coriander, different type of soup where we've actually roasted off this pumpkin, where we're going to have that for a meal and with the leftover take that into a dish and puree that pumpkin, roasted pumpkin with some coconut milk. Once it's cooked, serve that with a good big dollop of Greek yogurt with some little squeeze of lime and some coriander leaves and some black pepper on top. So that's us at Community Kitchen. All that wonderful food to think about, all that nice warm food makes you feel good, makes you feel healthy. And it's good sometimes to get out and about and have a look what's around in your community because it can be inspiring. I'll be with you next week. Enjoy your week.